Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, and I'd like to welcome you to episode 410 of the FCPA Compliance Report. Today, I have with me Doreen Edelman. Doreen is a partner at Lowenstein Sandler in Washington. She's also a global trade and policy expert. Before I introduce the episode, I would like to ask if you've ever been interested in starting a podcast. If you'd like to be on part of a podcast, part of a great network of podcasts, consider joining the Compliance Podcast Network. If you're interested, please enjoy this brief announcement from our sponsor today, One Stone Creative, about the podcast production process.
If you are enjoying this show, you might enjoy hosting your own. As an expert in your field, you have skills, knowledge, and insight that can help you expand your practice, meet new people, and create amazing content to share with the world. In as little as 2 hours a week, you can dramatically change how you promote, fill, and position your business. And One Stone Creative can show you how. Learn more at onestonecreative.net.
Today's episode is the first part of a two-part episode with Doreen, and we take up the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, or CFIUS. It is become a very much more prominent, certainly under the Trump administration, and Doreen details for us what has changed with CFIUS, how to ensure yourself how to prepare for a CFIUS review, and what it will entail. It's a fascinating exploration of something that's going to become more and more important as this administration uses trade policy as a cudgel to bludgeon America's allies and its foes. I know you will find it useful, something that compliance officers need to be aware of. The FCPA Compliance Report is a part of the Compliance Podcast Network. In this part two of my exploration of CFIUS with Doreen Edelman, we take up the mandatory filings under CFIUS as laid out in the November pilot program.
There's another provision of the November law that actually makes a mandatory filing. And I want to make sure we have time to talk about this. This is referred to as the pilot program. The actual CFIUS revisions will not come into law probably until February of 2020, because the regulations have to be completed. Some definitions have been put forth in interim regulations from the Treasury Department. And Treasury is the key agency that chairs the CFIUS committee, the Office of Investment Security. And in the next, 18 months from when they pass the bill in August, they need to, and have a significant budget to, actually set up a new agency to manage the CFIUS filings. They're going to hire more people. I think there's an assistant secretary position that's going to go with it. And they're going to put the meat to support the applications and the voluntary filings and now the mandatory filings that they assume they're going to have. So the mandatory filings, and this is a test case. Since the law won't be in effect until March, they implemented in November the pilot program for the CFIUS committee to take and actually get their hands around and their minds around what transactions are actually taking place. So, if a business if a business produces, tests, manufactures, fabricates, or develops critical technology in connection with a pilot program business, it is subject to having to make a mandatory filing. There's a second piece to that test, but I want to start with this one first. Critical technology, what does that mean? It means if the business can produce, test, manufacture, fabricate, or develop anything to do with a defense article or defense service, which is already something the company would be aware of if it's on the USML, subject to the ITAR, if it includes something on the Commerce Control List, and it's controlled by the multilateral regime, for national security, chemical or biological weapons proliferation, for nuclear nonproliferation or missile technology, or anything to do with regional stability or surreptitious listening, or if it involves any nuclear facility, equipment, or material, if it involves any agents or toxins, or, and here is the new part of critical technology, if it involves any emerging or foundational technology, which we don't yet have our full hand around, full definition, full regulatory package. But so, to repeat, when the pilot program requires a mandatory filing for the foreign investor in the U.S. target company, it's if the business will produce, test, manufacture, fabricate, or develop a critical technology used in the connection with one of the 27 pilot program businesses that the government has given us for them to test this program. These businesses are what you would expect. So they're, in a sense, a red flag for anyone thinking of investing or thinking of selling their company. They're almost all manufacturing. Aircraft manufacturing, aircraft and engine parts, aluminum, ball and roller bearer manufacturing, computer storage device manufacturing, electronic computer manufacturing, missiles, space vehicles, propulsion units and their parts manufacturing, armored vehicles, tanks, tank components, nuclear electric power generation, optical and lens manufacturing, inorganic chemical manufacturing, more space vehicles and guided missile codes, petrochemicals. And these are all based on the NAICS code. But there's a reason I'm going through them, because it isn't just, you can't do a simple question, am I involved in a pilot program or not? Let's see. After petrochemicals, we've got powdered metallurgy, power distribution and transformer manufacturing, battery manufacturing, radio and TV communications, wireless equipment manufacturing. Here's two that are a little different. Research and development in nanotechnology, research and development in biotechnology. Secondary smelting, alloying of aluminum, search and detection of nautical systems and instrument manufacturing, semiconductor and related device manufacturing, semiconductor machinery manufacturing, storage battery manufacturing, telephone apparatus manufacturing, and turbine and generator set units manufacturing. So the important point is that the critical technology that the target company will be working with or is working with in a pilot program industry. So there's two things you need there: critical technology and the pilot program. If you get through that, there's another half of the business, or the question, sorry, and that is, if the business or if the foreign investor will have either a board seat or even just non-voting rights to participate in some board actions, if the foreign investor will have the ability to control any critical decision making, and third, so much stuff in my head that I want to make sure I give you the exact right language. So let me, or if the foreign person will have access to material, non-public technical information, and that has been defined in the first set of regulations, which, just in case anyone wants to take a look at them, they're 231 CFR Part 801, and the Federal Register Notice is Volume 83, Number 197 from October 11, 2018. And material non-public technical information is information that's not available in the public domain necessary to design, fabricate, develop, test, produce, manufacture critical technology, including processes, techniques, or methods. Let me say that this does not include financial information. So if any foreign investor will have access to the corporate financial information, it does not then make it a mandatory CFIUS filing. And there is also an exception for limited partners that are foreign investors. If they are purely passive investors, if the fund is being managed by a U.S. general partner, not a foreign general partner, and that the foreign investor will not have the ability to impact investment decisions by being on an advisory board or some other type of committee with authority. Okay, I know, Tom, that was a lot to get out in one blurb. That's the pilot program. That's what everyone is concerned about, because for the first time, there is a mandatory filing. The definitions are quite broad. The key to them all is really critical technology. And you notice I didn't talk about the location of the real estate, because that's not within the pilot program. There's these other changes that were made to CFIUS go back to the voluntary filing. So one more thing on the pilot program. If a company believes that it needs to make a mandatory filing, there is a short process that this is new. The government has designed the short process that you can file. It's a declaration. It's at most supposed to be about 5 pages. But I don't want anyone to think that it is going to be a quick fix, or is it going to take the same amount of time and energy to gather all the information, including personal identifying information that needs to go into this declaration. What will happen is the timeline for this pilot program is that you have 10 days for this pre-file. The government has to respond. You don't really have 10 days. The government has to respond in 10 days. Well, the investor and the target company, though, do have to file no closer to the transaction than 45 days out. So 45 days prior to close, they need to file the declaration. 10 days the government has to get back. Then it's a 30-day review timeline. And what the CFIUS committee can decide at the end of that period is that either a notice is required, that the two parties are going to have to actually file a typical CFIUS filing, or that they don't have enough information to make that decision. So you're going to have to provide more, which usually leads to a notice, or that the transaction is fine, it can proceed. Or I'm doing all this from memory, which probably was not the smartest thing to do. There's one other option it has. So I'll think of it as we keep going through. So that's the mandatory process. If you don't fit in this pilot program, if you say, hey, Tom, I want to be a foreign investor in something else, but I don't think I have anything to do with any of these pilot programs, I'm not sure if I involve critical technology or not, then you go back to the basic original process that this new law has tweaked and updated, but it's still the voluntary program. The voluntary program is for when there's control, the old traditional national security review, if there's been any change regarding a foreign person's right with respect to the U.S. entity, like if they did have 9%, now they're going to take another 30% and they're going to have some more authority, that change would also require a new filing. They're not, you know, regardless of whether they made an initial voluntary filing. Any other transaction that could be seen as designing to evade or circumvent the CFIUS review, the real estate investments, so that's where that fits back in here. And then non-controlling investments in critical infrastructure and sensitive personal data. So this is two additional areas where they've expanded the review, where they're broadening the scope of what is national security. So this is for the voluntary filing. There's some other procedural changes. It used to be a 30-day filing with an extended 45-day filing period. What happened in reality was if the government didn't have enough time, they may ask the parties to actually withdraw their application during that first 30-day period and refile to give the government longer. So what this amendment under FIRMA did is they have enlarged the first period, which is the committee period, 45 days, and then they've made a potential 15-day extension for special circumstances, and all that has not been defined if it's a very complicated transaction, et cetera. So it's now 45 days for the committee and then a subsequent 15 days. Note a few things. One, there is no de minimis exception for these filings. So if a deal, in what some cases are seen as a very, you know, low price deal, there's no low priced exception. You've still got to go through this process. And obviously that's hard and expensive for small companies. To make it, I suppose, even more burdensome, these filings now have a fee linked to them. Not the declarations, but the actual filings. And the filings are either the lesser amount of 1% of the transaction value or $300,000. Another point, there is one other type of a mandatory filing. It isn't in the law yet, so it's one of these things that's going to come in early March, end of February. If the regs are finished sooner, the regs can come out sooner, but with the updated CFIUS, and it's for foreign government ownership. If a foreign government has a substantial interest in a foreign investor, could even be a sovereign wealth fund, that substantial interest could trigger a mandatory declaration. And it'll go through the same process whether a filing is needed.
So, Doreen, you went through a lot of information, and I'm going to link to it in the show notes because you actually detailed a fair amount of this in a client alert entitled "What the Changes to CFIUS Mean for Foreign Investment." Is there any right of appeal if you get a negative determination?
Yes, and that's a good question. A different level, and they didn't say much about this in the law, other than they said that there can be judicial review of a CFIUS decision at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. Now, having said that, there's a side note that there is an existing prohibition in the CFIUS law that isn't being deleted that says there is no judicial review of a presidential action. So if the CFIUS committee decides to recommend to the president that the government block a particular transaction, that is not reviewable. But other actions for CFIUS, it's now open. There have not been a lot of cases on this. There was one that seemed to open the door in 2014. So we'll have to see what happens on that. What normally happens before you get to the point of the two sides, you know, stepping back into their corners and reevaluating is you have a, I don't want to say mitigation because that isn't the right word, but there are often times that the parties will work out a deal. For either they'll withdraw the deal if they can't make it happen within the parameters of CFIUS. Sometimes I've seen companies that will spin off whatever the critical technology is, if it's not vital to the whole business, say it's a subsidiary that has some small ITAR business or whatever it is, there are ways to revise the transaction or the target company itself such that the deal can continue. And I think you'll see more creative solutions with CFIUS going forward. They may allow some deals to go through, but they will have some type of monitoring or reporting involved so that they can watch and track and ensure that there isn't a national security breach in the process.
Well, Doreen, unfortunately, we're near the end of our time, but I was wondering if anyone wanted any more information along these lines, or they wanted to contact you directly to seek your counsel, could they do so? And if so, how would they do it?
Of course they can. Anyone can Google me or find me at my new law firm, Lowenstein Sandler. My email is D as in dog, E-D-E-L-M-A-N at lowenstein.com. And that's Lowenstein.
So,
and I'm happy to talk to anybody.
This has been a fascinating exploration, and this is one of the things I think is going to become more significant during certainly this administration and if there's a new administration going forward. So thanks for taking the time to visit with me today.
Absolutely, Tom. Have a great day.
Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox. I'd like to thank you for listening to this episode and hopefully the prior episode of the FCPA Compliance Report, as we've had a two-part exploration of the Committee on Foreign Investments in the United States, or CFIUS, with Doreen Edelman, a noted trade lawyer and trade compliance expert. This is certainly something that the compliance professional needs to be aware of and cognizant of. Your trade compliance department should be aware of it, but it may be a question that you need to raise. It also will go forward in terms of the corporate culture and whether the investor is actually going to comply with U.S. law, which is directly within the wheelhouse of the anti-corruption compliance professional. This has been a podcast presentation from the Compliance Podcast Network. We will be off on December 24th and January 31st. So I hope you will join us again in the new year 2019 for the next episode of the FCPA Compliance Report. This is Tom Fox. I want to wish all of you a very happy holidays, Merry Christmas, or whatever tradition you may be celebrating in your household. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you will check back with the Compliance Podcast Network for some exciting developments in 2019. Thank you.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.